Hey guys, welcome to the 330 Sports Show. Today is Thursday, May 26, 2022. My name is Justin Coffin. I'm going to be joined here in just a moment by Greg Kirchner. We are going to do basically an Ohio State show today. So today's show is going to be dedicated to the Buckeyes over the last 21 seasons. We're going to include, but sort of put an asterisk next to the 2011 season. So I'll explain about that in a moment. So from 2001, and the reason we're starting in 2001 is that's when Jim Tressel, now president of Youngstown State University, former Youngstown State coach, took over at the Ohio State University as head coach. Since the 2001 season, and again, this is excluding 2011, which was a transitional year. We'll talk about that a little bit during the show. The Ohio State Buckeyes are 223-35, which is about an 86.5% win percentage, which is just fantastic. Jim Tressel, during those his 10 seasons, was 106-22. Accumulating a 66-14 record in Big Ten play. He was 6-4 in bowl games / BCS games. And, you know, maybe most importantly, depending on how you view a certain game, he was 9-1 versus that team up north, including one national title, which occurred in the 2002 season. Following Jim Tressel, there was, you know, that transitional year, Luke Fickell, who is now the head coach at Cincinnati and widely regarded as one of the, best, college football coaches, at least maybe a top 20 coach in all of college football. You know, that was a 6-7 season, the only losing season, in recent memory for Ohio State. Then in 2012, Urban Meyer takes over the Ohio State Buckeyes from 2012 to 2008. And whatever you might think of Urban Meyer, besides, you know, off the football field is fine, but there's no denying his greatness as a coach, you know, starting at Bowling Green, going to Utah, going to Florida, coming to Ohio State and winning multiple national championships. So Urban Meyer in his tenure, 83-9, 54-4. In Big Ten play, 5-2 in bowl games / playoff games, 7-0 versus the team up north, and one national title, which occurred in the 2014 season. We then transition to Ryan Day. again, you know, you're not exactly sure what you're getting here, but You know, he's a great offensive mind. He's worked with quarterbacks and then, you know, comes in and just sets the world on fire at Ohio State, not really missing a beat at all. He is 34-4 overall as Buckeyes head coach. He is 23-1 and unfortunately on a one game losing streak in the Big Ten. He is 2-2 in bowls and playoff games, and he has one national title appearance, unfortunately, a loss to Alabama just two seasons ago. So with that said, Joe, do we have Greg on? Are we able to bring him in?
I'm here.
All right. Hey, Justin. All right, Greg, thank you for joining us. Sorry, I couldn't see you on the screen.
No, but, you're fine.
So Greg and I... Greg, why don't you explain it, first of all? Why don't you explain what we did and how you kind of compiled this master list?
Yeah, so what we did is we scoured the games from the time that Justin said, so the last 21 years from 2021 to present, or 2001 to present day. And we each came up with our own independent top 20 list. We shared them this morning. Then we went through and kind of, you know, kind of assigned points to each one, so on and so forth, came up with a combined list, which we'll go through today. And frankly, the list could have been 30 games or 40 games or, you know, there was a lot of games. It was an interesting exercise, but I think we came up with a pretty good 20, and there's a lot of good honorable mentions that we'll get into too. But the, what we were talking about, ironically enough, going through this independently, we had 18 of the 20 games, both of us picked in our top 20. So some of the positioning was a little bit different, but overall we were fairly consistent. But, you know, I think, and I think like a lot of times we talk about this, like, I think it's just, we're the same age. We came up at the same time. We went to school at the same mm-hmm. time. So a lot of those, these are very, like, there's a lot of sentimental reasons, I think, for some of these picks, because there's so many incredible games. So anybody, you know, if you get somebody younger, they'll probably skew more towards the Urban Ryan Day games. I think we have a pretty good mix of all of them. So it'll be really fun to talk about, and it's a good stroll down memory lane, and anytime's a good time to talk Buckeye football. So
yeah, no doubt. Especially, you know, I know we're about as far removed as you can be from Ohio State football. You know, the season's ended, but the season's still a couple months away. So we thought this would just be kind of a fun topic, especially coming up on that 20-year anniversary of Ohio State's 2002 national title, which, you know, Jim Tressel, who is from Youngstown, we're saying he's a Youngstown citizen. You know, he's the president of YSU, former head coach here, and obviously from Northeast Ohio originally. So, Greg, how do you want to do this list? You want to start at 20 and go down to one, or you want to start at one and go to 20?
I'd say let's go 20 to one.
All right. So why don't you lead off with game number 20 here?
Okay, so the number 20 game, which was one of the games that we were split as far as having it on the list. I had it on my list as 19. You had it as an honorable mention. Was the 2017 Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin. So we've played Wisconsin a lot in the Big Ten championship. So this was the one. So this was JT Barrett's, I believe, his senior season. If I'm remembering correctly, and we had like J.K. Dobbins had a huge game. Paris Campbell had a long touchdown. Terry McLaurin had a long touchdown. And it was a game that we needed to have a shot at the playoff. We ended up not getting into the playoff. It was a really good football game. 27-21 was the final. And it made the list for me for sentimental reasons. I was at that game with my kids. We have really good memories of that day and had a lot of fun. And for anybody who's been to Indianapolis, I know Justin, we've been together for at least one. I think anybody who's been to Indy for the Big Ten championship game or any game, that's one of the best venues, I think, in sports, and just the city overall, is set up for big events so well. So it's just always, it was a lot of fun, and it was a great football game and a great win. Ultimately, I think we got we were ranked fifth in the playoff rankings that year, but still a great win.
No doubt. This game, was this the turf game, if I'm not mistaken, where the turf kind of came unloose and they had to like come in and sew it?
Yes, that was it. And that guy was like the MVP of the game because he got the turf like, he got the turf fixed in like 2 minutes. That was absolutely that game. I remember too, like, this is totally random, but so LeBron was on the Cavs at that point. And I just remember the Cavs had a game that night. I don't know if you ever saw this, but LeBron was doing like a post-game interview in the locker room during that game. And it was like, he was watching the Buckeye game at the time, and Dobbins like broke a long run, which I think he got down to like the 1 yard line, but LeBron like mid interview was all of a sudden like, go Dobbins, go Dobbins, go Dobbins. That was just really funny. My kids still refer to that moment. So there's another thing I remember about that game.
That's great. And I think, if I'm not mistaken too, they sort of got off to a slow start in that game, had to come back a little bit. And, you know, Wisconsin is always a pretty formidable foe, especially if you're playing in Madison. But Ohio State generally has the speed advantage, especially if you get them inside on that fast track in Indy. But, like you said earlier too, Indianapolis, the field, is it the field house? What is that stadium called?
It'll come to me. It's not the field house. I don't know why. I forget.
Well, the house called that Manning built.
Yes.
Nonetheless.
Yes. It's going to bother
me. That place is an unbelievable venue. It is, I will say, you know, once we think of it or if somebody knows it, write in on the comments. But it is the best venue I've ever seen a sporting event in, ever. So the best, like, view lines, just it feels like you're walking into, I don't even know, like almost like a huge mall at first, but it you have like 60, 70 foot high ceilings, and then you just look around, and then you don't even realize you're in a football stadium until, you know, you get to your seats. So it's pretty amazing. And great venue. And the Buckeyes definitely missed Indianapolis this year, and hopefully can get back, you know, this coming season. So that is our number 20 game on the list, the 2017 Big Ten Championship versus Wisconsin. I'll do number 19 here in a second. But the thing that I think you said too, you know, I think a lot of us remember where we were, whether we were at the game, whether we were not at the game. You remember kind of who you're with, or, you know, what you're drinking or what you're eating, or what, like you said with LeBron, like what other things were happening that day. Those are generally like kind of landmarks I lay as well for, you know, like breadcrumbs that help me remember just different things about that game. And I think that was really important that you said that, because, you know, I can remember, you know, a game 25 years ago and where I was and what I was doing, but, you know, I can't remember where I left my keys, you know, this morning going to work. So, you know, it's a funny way how sports have, you know, can trigger your memories like that. So, all right, with that said, we're going to go to our number 19 game. And the number 19 game, I had this as my number 17 game. I think Greg had it as an honorable mention, but it is the 2001 at Michigan game. Ohio State won that game 26-20. This, if you remember, Ohio State kind of had an average season in Jim Tressel's first season. However, you know, he made that proclamation when he got hired at the Schottenstein Center, 300 and whatever days, you're going to be proud of us in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He goes up and lives up to that billing. Ohio State goes in there. I think it was Jonathan Wells busted a big run right up the middle. And the Buckeyes, you know, who were heavily underdogs in that game, go in and win 26-20 in Ann Arbor. And that sort of sets the tone as the transitional point of this rivalry to me, and that's why this game was so important. And actually, if I remember right, I think I was at your house watching this game over there in Boardman. This was a pretty, you know, pretty important game. And, you know, this kind of took Ohio State, was kind of you don't want to say the dark days of Ohio State football, but this was not, you know, from, I would say, 99 to 2001, to the end of that 2000 season, things didn't look that great. The end of the Cooper era coming in, Tressel, you know, was a great coach, but he had done it at the 1AA level. He hadn't done it with the big boys yet. And for him coming in, making that statement, getting that statement win really set the tone for that, you know, next season, which we'll get to eventually. So your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I'm glad, even though I didn't have it on my list, I'm glad it made the list, because I struggled with this game because it has so much significance, because it really was that turning point. And I think, again, the younger generation, you know, didn't live through the days of the 90s and what it was like playing Michigan every year. And basically it being the complete opposite of how it is now. I mean, it was like, how are we going to lose this game? And the significance of Tressel, who was not a splash hire for most people when he was hired, he certainly was for anybody who knew him at YSU. But I remember we had to convince a lot of people that that was a good hire and we were going to be okay. Yeah. I think a lot of people just didn't know. So to live up to the promise, call it a guarantee, call it not a guarantee. I don't think it was. I think he said it wasn't a guarantee. It really wasn't a guarantee. But right. Nonetheless, to live up to that, you're right. That was the kind of a defining moment and a culture shift and a rivalry shift. And you kind of point back to that. And it, even though we ended up losing the bowl game, I think, to South Carolina, that, you know, in a lot of ways set us up for the national title season the following year.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I think whatever he did, and we're going to get Coach Tressel back on the show later this summer, but whatever he did to get those guys ready for that game, that's got to be something we ask him, because, you know, a new tone was set in, not just with the fans, but obviously where it matters most, in that locker room with those players buying in to, you know, beating that team up north. So fantastic start to Coach Tressel and the rivalry with Michigan. All right, Greg, why don't you take us to, I believe we're on number 18 here.
Yep, number 18. So our second Michigan game. So this is 2004, home game against Michigan. Buckeyes won 37-21. So this would have been Troy Smith's first Michigan game. I think the defining moment I remember in this game was like a Ted Ginn punt return. I think this was Ted Ginn's freshman year. You know, it was another game where, you know, we had a decent season that year, but it wasn't, you know, we weren't, I don't, you might have the rankings on off, you know, there offhand, but it was, we were underdogs in the game, not expected to do much in the game. And we came out and, you know, kind of blew the doors off of Michigan.
Michigan was the number 7 ranked team in the country. Yeah.
That makes sense. And I feel like we were probably at least a touchdown underdog. And we came out and took it to them. And Troy Smith kind of, you know, that was maybe the first real glimpse of like of big game Troy Smith, and that, oh, this guy could really be somebody. And it obviously set him up for tremendous successes in his career, tremendous success against Michigan, ultimately a Heisman Trophy. And then sentimentally, I think this was our last year, last home Michigan game when we were actually in college. So I remember rushing the field in this game. We have a picture of a bunch of us on the field. So, but great game. I think we had it pretty well in hand the whole game too. And those are always kind of fun.
Yeah. No doubt. I remember sitting there, I think we were in like 8AA, sitting there like right front row. That season we sat right next to the parents that whole season. But I, you know, if I remember right, it was you, me, Dave Hodge, and I think my sister got another student ticket by using their ID, and she was like 16 years old at the time, but she was able to rush the field as well. So that was a lot of fun. And like you said, it has like sentimental value based on, you know, different times of your life. And, you know, so somebody might, you know, that might be a little younger, might not have this game as high. However, you know, for us being seniors in college and, you know, just enjoying Columbus and the atmosphere and a big win over a rival team is just unmatched. So, so that's a good pick there. So you had that ranked 17. I had that ranked 16 on our board. So the rest of these games, we are pretty much, you know, in sync with, you know, we all have them in our top 20, you know, different rankings. So I'll go on here to number 17. This was the 2005 Fiesta Bowl, and it was against Notre Dame. Ohio State wins that game 34-20. Greg had this number 18 on his list. I had it number 14. For me, I probably had it ranked just a little bit higher. You know, we have a couple mutual friends that are, you know, one in particular that's a huge Notre Dame fan. And I just remember watching this game. I remember, I'll just give him a shout out. Edgar got interviewed before the game by one of our, I think it was WKBN at the time. And we recorded that, and he was wearing a Notre Dame jacket with an Ohio State hat. And it was just like a lot of fun. But you know, it's always good to, you know, Ohio State and Notre Dame, it's one of those like non-rivalry games because they're so close. They compete for the same players. You know, they're both excellent programs with great traditions. I think Notre Dame used to bag on Ohio State a little bit for the academics, where Ohio State has now caught up. I think maybe not equaled Notre Dame in the the academic side, but it's getting pretty close. Whereas Ohio State always could usually say, well, you know, scoreboard, you know, a lot of times, and Notre Dame's starting to inch back up to becoming one of those blue blood programs once again. So this game, I think, featured Brady Quinn. It featured, a lot of those same guys we talked about in the previous Santonio Holmes, Ted Ginn. I'm trying to think Antonio Pittman was the running back for the Buckeyes.
I think so.
Troy Smith. So a lot of great memories in this game. Santonio Holmes was one of my favorite Buckeyes of all time. And I know he had a huge game along with the offense in this. So your thoughts on that game, Greg?
Yep. No, you hit on a lot of them. Yeah. Santonio, I know, had a really long touchdown in that game. Ginn had, I think, on a reverse or something, a long touchdown. It was one of those where it really showed kind of like, I mean, we had, you know, it was sort of a precursor to the following season, which was one of the best seasons in Ohio State history. And we hadn't had the dominant speed. We had been kind of a grinded out Big Ten team for a number of years. And this just showed we really went out and just sort of outraced Notre Dame at the beginning of that game. Yep. So it was a really fun game to watch. And I think there was if you remember, there was the story of AJ Hawk and Brady Quinn and Brady Quinn's sister dating and now married to AJ Hawk. And she was wearing like the dual jersey. And I think Hawk sacked Quinn like at least once in the game. So that was kind of cool. It was the first time we played Notre Dame since I think the Eddie George days. So, yeah, great game, great win. And I think we just led right into that following season, after that. So,
yeah, just a secondary point there. Like you said, you know, we played Notre Dame in the mid 90s. We played them in a couple bowl games, once in the early 2000s or in the mid 2000s. We played them in the mid teens and we got them home and home coming up. But this is a game that should be played every 10 to 15 years. So, we shouldn't have to wait 30 years to play Notre Dame, and Notre Dame probably feels the same way, for recruiting battles, for just the proximity and overall similarities, I guess, of both fans, both programs, and both traditions. So can't wait for this year's game. And, just talking about this game and, the 2015 matchup, it kind of gets the blood flowing, getting ready for the first game this season in the Shoe. All right. So, Greg, why don't you go ahead and lead us into game number 16?
So number 16, I believe this is the first of two regular season 1-2 games on this list. This was 2006 at Texas, which turned out to be a very dominant Ohio State performance, which again was sort of a catalyst to that incredible regular season in 2006. So it was a 24-7 Ohio State win. If you remember, this was coming on the heels of the previous year's game, which was arguably one of the most hyped up games in the history of Ohio State football at that time, that night game against Texas, where Vince Young came to town and it was a great game. Texas ended up winning. Young was gone. They won the national championship in 2005, still brought a lot back. Colt McCoy, I think, was their quarterback as a freshman. But it was an ambush kind of from the beginning, but a great win. And again, just to go out on the road early in the year, beat the number one team in the country. I think they were they number one and we were number two. I think
we were actually number one. We were number two.
Okay. Gotcha. So, nonetheless, great win. A lot of good memories from that game too. I think you were there, so you can talk a little bit about that.
That was, that was my, first and only trip to Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas has obviously grown a lot since then, but one of the greatest cities in America now. But it was still awesome back then. You know, anybody that knows me knows, you know, like my mom is sort of my like sports buddy. If I'm not traveling with my friends, I'm going to probably, you know, my mom and I are probably going to go to a game somewhere here or there. You know, I've been to the finals with her. I've been to, you know, tons of different baseball games and basketball games and stuff like that. But her and I were like, you know, so long story short, used to live in Waco, Texas, you know, as a kid early on. So flew down to Texas, went down to Waco for a day, visited Baylor, you know, kind of where we used to live, then drove up to Austin the next day. I went out hard in Austin by myself on a Friday night before the game. And, you know, it's an hour earlier. So College Game Day was there. My mom gets up to go to College Game Day and she's like, hey, get your ass up out of bed, you know, like, and I had been out till, no lie, I think I got back to the hotel at like 4 a.m. So it would have been 5 a.m. based on College Game Day. And so my mom goes by herself to College Game Day. She gets on TV. She's like literally the only Ohio State fan that, you know, it, at College Game Day, surrounded by, you know, like the hook'em horns. And but all in all, I got to sleep in a little bit, had a great experience. We went to the game. It was hot as hell, early September. And if I remember right, Tressel would rotate the entire offensive line from one series to another. That's how deep we were at the offensive line. But, you know, you had, again, Troy Smith and loaded with weapons, tons of future Ohio State. Well, I'm sorry, tons of future NFL players on that roster, both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. And one other cool tidbit, LeBron was there. I did not see LeBron James, but he was on the sidelines for that game. But I did get to talk and meet literally within 5 minutes of each other, both Eddie George and Mr. Buckeye himself. So why can't I think of his name? Two-time Archie Griffin. Yeah, yeah. So I literally met three-time Heisman Trophy winners, two different players, within 5 minutes of each other. One at an Ohio State Alumni Association like tailgate party, and Eddie was just walking through the gates of the stadium, and he was so gracious and nice, and probably had the biggest human head of any living person I've ever met too. So great experience there. And that comes in at number 16 on our list. I'll quickly go through this one a little bit here, but number 15 is the only game we have on our list from kind of a dark season, 2011. The 2011 season was a transitional year. Obviously, you know, Jim Tressel had the sanctions placed against him and the school for literally what would, you know, is completely fine now. And, you know, with the tattoo stuff. So a very unfortunate situation there. But long story short, Luke Fickell becomes the interim coach before Urban comes on. And Ohio State had a down season, you know, by their standards. But in this game, the 2011 game versus Wisconsin, I actually remember I was at Notre Dame. I think it was Notre Dame Navy. And I was there and I went to the Brothers Bar in South Bend and was getting into it a little bit with this one guy. I don't even think he liked football that much. He just couldn't stand Ohio State. So he, to this day, if I saw him, would say Braxton Miller was across that line when he threw that football, but the rule is, and I think Ohio State fans and Wisconsin fans especially learned, your whole body has to be past the line of scrimmage. And that includes the back half of your foot, to be an illegal forward pass. So that's what I take away most from that game. Obviously, Russell Wilson was the quarterback for Wisconsin. So your thoughts on that game? I hope I didn't steal too many the talking points.
No, I think, you know, my thought, I was at that game and it was a night game. And this was, you know, again, this you know, for people who have been, you know, into Ohio State football the last 10 years or younger people, night games weren't common. As you went back. So it was a big deal. You know, that if you had one night game, like every maybe two seasons, it was a huge deal. So the atmosphere was great for a down year. It was great. It was kind of like our, you know, besides the Michigan game, obviously, which is like that every year, it was kind of our big opportunity to beat a tremendously good Wisconsin team that actually had a lot of tough luck. I remember that season. I think they got beat on a Hail Mary against Michigan State. And, you know, to have somebody like Russell Wilson for 1 year, and they had a great team around them, you know, they were a juggernaut. And it was just an unbelievably exciting game, and a bright spot in the season. So fond memories of that. But yeah, you hit a lot of the good points on the head.
And one last thing I remember from that game too, in the very last play, you know, like Russell Wilson's rolling out and we're like, oh damn, you know, hopefully if he gets this football off, we're in trouble. But John Simon, who was a great Ohio State lineman from Cardinal Mooney right here in Youngstown, I think is still playing in the NFL, or at least was up until last year, made that hit on Wilson to prevent that ball from, you know, being chucked into the end zone. For, you know, we would have held our breaths a little bit more then. So, all right. So that was number 15 on our list. Greg, you can take us to number 14.
Yeah, number 14. So we'll go back to the magical 2002 season and another Michigan game. So the 2002 Michigan game, I call it the Will Allen game. You could also call it the Maurice Clarett game. 14-9. I mean, there's some, when you go back to those days, there's some scores, and we got a few couple other games that year. And, yeah, interesting scores. I mean, who that 14-9 now is like that, you know, that if there's only 23 points scored in the first quarter, it's almost a low scoring game sometimes, but 14-9, just a grinder of a game, I remember. But that whole season was like that. And I just remember being up in SeaDek for that game, and it was freezing. And again, we are back in the era of you expect bad things to happen in the Michigan game. So you are just waiting for, you know, something terrible to happen. And it was, we were down, I think, a lot of the game. We scored late. I think John Navarre was their quarterback that year, if I'm not mistaken. They had a really good team. And they drove down at the end, and they had one play from, what was it, about the 25 yard line. And it was like, again, I was like, we were at SeaDek in the end zone. So I was looking from the back, you know, behind the Michigan offense. And boy, when he let that ball go, you could see the receiver open, and it looked like it was going to be a touchdown. And then all of a sudden Will Allen cuts it off, picks it off, and madness ensues, and that locked up the undefeated season and the opportunity to play for a national title. So that was an unbelievable game, and we celebrated pretty hard. We celebrated hard the night before. That whole weekend was there's a lot.
I remember that was another one. I remember being freezing cold at that game. It was really, really cold that day. Like you said, very low scoring. Maurice Clarett, you know, Will Allen, very strong defensive battle. A couple, like, almost not trick plays, but I think we had an option in there to score a touchdown with Clarett, and you know, some other big plays. But I will never forget to everyone. Every single person, you know, this was the height of our college, you know, junior year of college, and everyone wanted to be down in Columbus that weekend. I think, and you guys might laugh at us, but Greg, you know, I think me and Greg and three other guys lived in a house, and I think we had 25 or more people staying at our house. It was that crazy. We had people sleeping in our bathtub. We had like four or five people in each room. It was so much fun, and I will never forget those days or that season. So that comes in at number 14 on our list, the 2002 Michigan game, which catapulted Ohio State into the national championship game. That was the BCS era. Okay, so The next game, number 13 on our list, is another game you and I both attended in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Number 13 game is the 2005 at Michigan game. Ohio State wins that game 25-21. I remember seeing Derek Jeter the night before at Hot Ricks.
That's right.
In Ann Arbor. I remember we stayed up at your cousin's house in Ann Arbor, and that was just so much fun. And we wake up and we're, you know, it's another cold day. I mean, in late November in Michigan or Ohio, it's going to be cold most of the time. And, you know, we're like saddled up, we're getting ready, you know, we're doing shots, you know, at like 8:30 in the morning. But again, a great experience and a great time. What do you remember most about this game?
Well, I remember the Anthony Gonzalez catch. That was that game, and just we were down two scores in the fourth quarter. And I think, it's the only game I've attended in the Big House. I think you've gone to at least one other one, but, you know, it's a lonely place when you're losing, definitely. And I just remember we were kind of sitting on our hands a little bit there and just thinking, God, this is going to be a long afternoon and evening if we don't come back in this game. And I think, I know Santonio Holmes, I think, had a touchdown to get us within a score. And then we had the drive late in the game, kind of culminated by the big catch from Gonzalez inside the five. And I think Antonio Pittman scored on a rushing touchdown. And boy, it changed our mood pretty quickly. But it was awesome to be there for that game, and it was just another triumphant game, and it was pretty fun walking around campus that night and you know, with a lot of sad Wolverines. So
yeah, and we were respectful Buckeye fans, we will say that. We're not the type to like get in your face, and you know, because you know we've been on the other end of that stick too, so we know how it feels. But definitely internalize it, and it feels good. My favorite part, though, next to the game and you know that being out and experiencing that stuff, was driving back, crossing the border, you know, in the Toledo area, and someone put a bed sheet over an overpass, and all it said was 25-21. Welcome to Ohio, right. And I loved it. So awesome. What a game. So that brings us to number 12. Greg, why don't you lead off with that one, number 12.
Yeah, and actually, this is kind of a similar game to number 13. This is 2018 at Penn State. 27-26 was the ultimate final score. Ohio State wins. This was another comeback. This was led by Dwayne Haskins. We've been together for a lot of these games. We were in Vegas for this one, which was just a cool experience. But it was another game. I think we were down at least one score at half. Just things were not going our way at all. Another fourth quarter comeback. I remember the one play to Ben Victor where, like, you know, he was like a relatively short pass and he ran like, you know, switched directions, probably ran 70 yards for a 35 yard catch or something. But, you know, just again, another unbelievable win, and saddening Michigan is probably the best thing in the world, but the close second is Penn State and James Franklin. And one thing I remember in this game, I don't know if you remember this, but I think it was towards the end of the game. They had like a fourth and five or something, and they ran like a
straight handoff.
It was just
and Chase Young, I think, just buried whoever the running back was.
And we had some Penn State fans, and we were at like Emerald Sports Book or something.
Yeah,
and there were some Penn State fans in front of us, and that was pretty entertaining when they ran on fourth and five, but. That was a fun game. We made a few bucks. I think 90% of that bar bet the second half Buckeye line because we were down like, you know, I think we were down 8 points or 10 points or something at half. Mm-hmm. And I think the line was like Ohio State -6. And I think everybody was lining up to bet it. So there's a lot of Buckeye support in there. It was a lot of fun and another great game.
Yeah. Great game. Great memories of that. And just an awesome experience. And that was the year, obviously, Dwayne Haskins sort of changed the, you know, the image of Ohio State from being a, you know, dual threat quarterback to a legit NFL drop back in the pocket passer. Just really great memories from that. All right. Going back to 2002, this is our number 11 game. All I got to say is holy Buckeye. And I think anyone would remember this game. Brent Musburger's call. I kind of miss Brent Musburger doing big time games. I know a lot of people are not a huge fan of him, but I've always liked him. But this final score was 10-6. 10-6. If I remember right, we were actually at Brett Franklin's house watching this game, or at least the second half of this game. But, 10-6. It was a fourth down pass to Ohio State's leading receiver still of all time, by yardage at least, as Michael Jenkins. So that's what I take away most from this game. What do you remember?
Yeah, just exactly that. I think Claret sat that game. I believe he was injured. And gosh, I mean, yeah, it was just, again, I think I rated this game a little lower because I looked at 10-6 and I was like, it was kind of a terrible game. But from a moment standpoint, it's a top five probably moment in these, if we were to rank moments or plays. But
yeah,
it was just, you know, it epitomized that season. And I felt like every game after that, and I think some of the games before that were like that. The Penn State game where Gamble took the interception back. You had the Illinois game. You had obviously the Michigan game that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just every week was something. But it's hard to imagine how we had 3 points against Purdue 58 minutes into the game. But, you know, that was the kind of year that was. And yeah, it was something special, and that call is iconic. So
yeah, very untrestle like in a sense of, you know, he was aggressive in that call and went for it. And, you know, I don't know if there was checkdowns or whatever, but Krenzel, he made that pass look so easy too. Like, that was like 50 yards in the air on a dime to Jenkins, and, you know, it just looked like it kind of glided through that air. So unbelievable game and unbelievable finish in an unbelievable season. So that play, I think, like you said, if we were ranking moments, might be right up there with, you know, the top ones of all time. So holy Buckeye, number 11 on our list here. So I'm going to take us to, actually, Greg, go ahead and do number 10.
Yeah, so number 10, another Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin. This one was 2004. And this is certainly the most lopsided game on this list.
2014.
Yes. 2014. Certainly the most lopsided game on the list. This was the 59-0 game. Man, there's a lot to unpack with this game because, you know, you kind of go back to that. You go back to the Michigan game the week prior, JT Barrett getting seriously injured in that game. Towards the end of the game too, I'm not sure Cardale Jones threw a pass in that game. I think we broke a run to kind of put that game away. Zeke did. And then we go to this Big Ten championship game. We need to win, obviously, but we need to win convincingly enough to even have an opportunity to get into the playoff. Mm-hmm. And we know Cardale Jones can chuck the ball. We know he's 12 gauge, but we don't know what to expect. We're underdogs in the game. I think they had Melvin Gordon on that team, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And we come out and dominate in a way that is still almost unfathomable to this day. And we probably needed almost every one of those points to get us in the position to even get the 4 seed in that playoff. So what an incredible game. I mean, I remember that Gus, that was a classic Gus Johnson game too, with just so many plays, a lot of deep throws. Zeke broke a run. I think Joey Bosa had a scoop and score. I think it was literally a definition of everything that could possibly go right went right, and vice versa for Wisconsin. And that made it all possible for some of the games that we have later on in this list.
Yeah, and you could argue, going back a year ago in the NFL, the best wide receiver in the NFL was Michael Thomas. And he was on that team, but he wasn't the number one receiver on that team. It was Devin Smith. And Devin Smith caught so many impactful deep balls on that team. And I think at least two of the first three touchdowns were to Devin Smith, and they were huge, and they were backbreakers to Wisconsin. And it was like, you know, that avalanche, you know, it was a snowball going down that hill, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and Wisconsin had no answer. And just as important as the 59 is that other number, was that zero, shutting them out, the defensive step up to just get them into the playoff opportunity against what would be Alabama in the next next round. So great call. So we are through a little over halfway through our list. So we're going to get into the number nine here, and that is the 2016 game versus Michigan. Double overtime, 30-27. If I'm not mistaken, I think Michigan was number two or number three, and Ohio State was number two or number three. So one of those two teams were, you know, both right there fighting for a, not just the Big Ten, but to get in the playoff and to, you know, just do, you know, to possibly win a national title. But obviously a lot of Michigan fans will still linger on JT was short. You know, if you go back, look at the overheads, we all know, come on. I mean, you can say what you want, and hopefully now that they got a win under the belt, they can get over that. But that was a great game, capped off by that run to get in there. But the thing I remember most about this game is, I think this was after the Cavs national or Cavs championship run. You had LeBron, you had Kyrie, you had J.R. Smith, all those guys on the sideline, and they were just like getting after it and having a blast. So what are your thoughts from this game?
Yep, another one. I was lucky enough to be at that one. Yeah, it was just a tremendous game. Michigan may have been favored in the game, and yeah, I mean, there's nothing much more to say than what was said. It was another classic, tough game. I mean, I think we came back, and I think we missed some short field goals in that game, or at least one short. I remember it being a very frustrating game. And things just were not going our way. But, you know, like we've done, especially in this rivalry lately, we found a way. So it was tremendous. And the Curtis Samuel run to the end zone is iconic, and Urban kind of like collapsing on his knees at the end was pretty special. That was unbelievable. And then Harbaugh's press conference was also pretty great. So.
Yeah, yeah. That might have been the booger pick game too. I can't remember, but
it might have been. There was
a few Harbaughs with those in there, but another big impactful play. I think Malik Hooker had a interception return for a touchdown in that game too, which kind of helped change the flow in the course of that
game. Yeah, because we could not get a lot going offensively in that game, from what I can recall. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So that is our number nine game on that list. And if it's number two versus number three in a double overtime game, and that's number nine on our list, that says what's coming next. So, Greg, go ahead and tell us about number eight, which is pretty recent.
Yeah, number eight, I guess it would be the 2022 Rose Bowl. It was the last game that we got to see against Utah, the 48-45 thriller. And I think we talked about this a little bit, I think, on Tuesday, about how, you know, some and how frankly spoiled we can be sometimes as a fan base. And I think a lot of people were, you know, the Michigan game did not go the way we wanted it to go. Obviously, you know, we thought that we were going to have a real opportunity to win a title, had to settle for the Rose Bowl. And Utah, you know, it's not Oregon. It's not USC. It's like, okay, this is going to kind of be a disappointing game. And I don't know, I think we all sat down for the game thinking, oh, all right, it's cool. It's a Rose Bowl. It's always awesome. But, you know, okay, not overly excited about it. And we just got our doors blown off early. And then it's like, okay, now on top of this, you know, we're going to get blown out. We sat a lot of guys, you know, you sat Olave and Wilson, and some defensive guys sat too. So it just felt like this was not going to go well. And then CJ Stroud, Marvin Harrison Jr., and most notably Jackson Smith and Jigba with the record setting day, just take off. And it turns out to be one of the more exciting games that we've seen. Clearly number eight on this list, but what an incredible game. And I hope and think, because we've talked about this as a theme in a lot of these other games, we may point back to this game, you know, as we get into this 2022 season and say that was the, you know, that was the first game of the 2022 season effectively.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. A catalyst to really get it going. And that could jumpstart either CJ or JSN's Heisman trophy winning, or, you know, possible potential. Oh, by the way, Edgar chimed in Lucas Oil Stadium. From earlier.
Yes. Gosh, I was trying to
so,
think.
Yeah, I completely forgot the name. You can always refer to it as the house that Manning built, by the way. So, but yeah, that game. And after the season and all the his, you know, stats and accumulation, JSN, Jackson Smith, and Jigba set the all-time receiving, you know, for the Big Ten. And, you know, has an opportunity to be a Heisman finalist along with his quarterback this coming season. So pretty awesome. All right, let's go to number seven. So number seven, another Penn State game here, another comeback win, this one at home against the number two team in the country at the time, the Penn State Nittany Lions. If you remember this game, help me out with the running back, Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley, yeah. Yep.
Saquon Barkley returns the opening kick for a touchdown, and Penn State really took off from there. So Ohio State, JT Barrett had to be a passer in this game, really came back. Ohio State wore those cool gray uniforms, which are some of my favorites. You know, they're the non-traditional uniforms that they wear usually once a year, but just very, very cool. But that was just a great, great game. And I believe it started at noon. So it had that weird feeling of going into, you know, that late fall afternoon, but it was just kind of a cool experience seeing the Buckeyes come back. And again, a Gus Johnson game on Fox was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Special game. It was another one I was there for. It was incredible. And it's just JT Barrett, you know, again, is probably a little underappreciated as a quarterback. I mean, you know, he had his limitations, but boy, like he was such an incredible leader and just always had the knack for doing what needed to be done. And like you said, what needed to be done is he needed to be a passer in that game. And he was so locked in. And the fourth quarter of that game hit every throw and they were tough throws. And it was a incredible performance, an incredible comeback against an extremely, extremely good Penn State team. Trace McSorley was a great quarterback for them. They had Saquon, obviously, Jasicki at tight end. I know they had, they had some receivers too that are playing in the league. They had a great team.
No doubt. So what a fantastic game. Another great Big Ten opponent coming in, but not, you know, falling to the Buckeyes. So let's go to number six. Greg, why don't you take that game?
Number six. So 2018 versus Michigan again. This was the 62-39 triumph. This was just Michigan, I think, had like an all-time defense that year too. They were one of the best defenses in the country, but I think one of the best defenses they've had in a long time. They were favored in the game, and you know, this was a Dwayne Haskins just unbelievable performance. You know, coupled with, you know, Olave had a good game, a great game there, and it was another one I was there for, and it was just scoring 62 against Michigan was just unbelievable, and it was, we could do no wrong. Offensively, and they scored plenty of points too, but it was nobody expected there to be 100 points scored in that game, and to score 62 against Michigan was extra special. That turned out to be Urban's final Michigan game, and capped off his perfect record in that rivalry. And again, I think we had fallen. We had some, I know we had at least one loss earlier in the season. So it wasn't a playoff year, but that was our, sort of our Super Bowl game. And it was, another great chapter in the rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah. They go on and, you know, end up winning, the Rose Bowl, later that year. And this was kind of the breakout game for Chris Olave as well, where, or no, excuse me. That was the year before, wasn't it? Which one was the Olave? I think it was this one.
I think it was the breakout Olave.
He scored two touchdowns and blocked a punt in this game. So
yes, because it was a home game. Yep.
And checking my notes too, Michigan was the number one ranked defense coming into that game, and they were a 4-point favorite as well. So, you know, that was one where Ohio State kind of had the momentum and just never let it go and just dominated from start to finish there. All right, let's go to our number five game here. We are now we can start talking championships, but we go to the 2014 season, the College Football National Championship game, the win against Oregon 42-20. You had the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, Marcus Mariota, on that Oregon team. They actually scored the first 7 points, if I remember, and Ohio State kind of dominated from there on out. So your thoughts from this game?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little, you know, again, when we're going through this list, it was a little bit of an anticlimactic game, probably because of a game that we'll talk about later, which is the game that led up to this. But, you know, still, we were underdogs in that game. We were facing, you know, it was like, how's OSU going to stop this Oregon offense? They had just disposed of Florida State and Jameis Winston in kind of dominant fashion. And, you know, and we know that Oregon poses their own unique challenges. They were still running the Chip Kelly offense, although I think that was Mark Helfrich, who was their coach. But you know, once we got punched in the mouth the first drive, like you said, and then we basically exerted our dominance, and that clearly was a team of destiny. And that game was a you know, I think Zeke had over 200 yards rushing, and Haskins had another great, or excuse me, Cardale Jones had another great game. And yeah, it was a title winning performance and an unbelievable game.
Just dominant from start to finish. And, you know, after that first drive, especially, you know, they took over, and Ezekiel Elliott, that end of that season, you know, against Michigan, against Wisconsin, against Alabama, and then against Oregon, just unbelievable performance to end his Buckeye career, and just, well, not end it, but, you know, catapult it forward and pretty much cement him as one of the best backs in Ohio State history. All right. I'm going to go with the number. Greg, why don't you tell us about the number four game
here? Yeah. So we actually had a tie for third. So two games that one of us ranked third, one of us ranked fourth. So I'll just do the one that I ranked third, and then you can do the one you ranked third. So the one I ranked third and Justin ranked fourth was the second 1-2 regular season matchup on this list. And it was the 2006 Michigan game, which could probably say what was the most, maybe still is the most hyped regular season game that, you know, we've had maybe ever. 42-39 win. You know, it's like you couldn't script the situation any, you know, if you turn the script into Hollywood, they would have said, no, this can't possibly happen. Both teams were undefeated. 1-2, you know, playing for a BCS berth at that time. And as if there was anything more that needed to happen that week, Bo Schembechler passes away, I think, 2 days before the game. So it was just everything you could ever imagine happening leading up to a game. And the game lived up to the hype. And it was a 3:30 game, which I think is probably the first time we've played that. The only time it's been 3:30, I think, in a long, maybe that I can remember at all. And just it was just an unbelievable back and forth football game that ultimately Ohio State came out on top. It was another great Troy Smith performance. Beanie Wells had a great game. I remember, I think that was his freshman year, and the Michigan team was tremendous too. So it was a you know, and that was unusual. We've had more, you know, we've gone through a lot of these high scoring Michigan games, but a high scoring Michigan game wasn't the norm back then. So 42-39 was kind of like a holy crap, this is a total shootout game. But what an incredible game.
Yeah, no doubt. I think you said it all. So I'm going to go in right into my number three game here. And that was most recently the 2020 college football semifinal versus Clemson, a 49-28 victory, kind of getting that Clemson monkey off our back. Also, you know, this was during COVID, so you couldn't do a whole lot. You still couldn't go out, and, you know, it was right in the midst of the pandemic. But Ohio State, again, Clemson went right down and scored. Ohio State came back and scored, and then I think it was 14-14 at one point, and then Ohio State just took off. And I remember Olave scoring in this game. I remember Jameson Williams catching a touchdown pass in this game. And this was, to me, like, if we're ranking the most fun games on the list, it was this one, because Ohio State just dominated after, you know, the first quarter, really. And, you know, Dabo had ranked us, what, like 11th in the poll, didn't think we should be in the playoff. So there was a lot of that nonsense coming into it. And obviously Ohio State had only played six games up to that point, five yeah. regular season games and the Big Ten championship because of the pandemic and the shortened season and, you know, the craziness before the season with scheduling and whatnot. But this was just so much fun. And it was kind of the Justin Fields, Chris Olave, like redemption game too. Ohio State was probably the better team the year before, lost to Clemson, and they get their revenge, and just such a satisfying win. And Ryan Day gets his first win in the college football playoff, and just an awesome experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Not much to add here other than, you know, it also, I mean, this was really was like Justin Fields, you know, I think again, like, you know, I said this about Barrett, but maybe Fields was a little underappreciated, and part of it was probably due to the COVID shortened season. But this was like the game where it was like, wow, he made some throws in this game that are, you know, or like, this guy is a legitimate NFL quarterback. And he also, if you remember, took a nasty hit in that game. I think we all thought his ribs were busted. To come back and continue to play at that level showed that toughness. And I think that probably answered a lot of draft questions for him too, personally. But what an incredible, yeah. And you're right. So much fun.
And it was fun to see them kind of show Brent Venables on the sideline along with Dabo, kind of saddened because Brent Venables got so much hype as the defensive guru, and then the Buckeyes go out and put 49 on Clemson and just dominate that game. So fantastic. So we are now down to our top two games, and we got about 5 to 10 minutes left. So Greg, I'm going to let you, take your pick here. What do you want? You want to go? Might as well go number two. So
number two. So, I mean, any of these could be number one clearly, but number two is the, 2014 college football playoff semifinal, Sugar Bowl against Alabama, which Ohio State won 42-35, culminated by the 85-yard touchdown run from Zeke Elliott. And just, you know, we could do full shows on these games, but just the feeling of slaying that dragon, finally, the SEC yeah. dragon, and it being Alabama. You know, again, the improbability of it being, you know, Cardale Jones coming off the Wisconsin game, but it was like we were significant underdogs in the game, can't do it again. And we took it to Bama. It didn't go well. The early part of the game was not, you know, didn't start off very well for us. Missed opportunities early in the game. It looked like it was touch and go there for a while, but we made plays when it counted. Steve Miller with the big man interception return, and obviously the Dezeque play at the end, but just to win that game against that team, it was really the first time, and really in a long time, we had beaten an SEC team. And it felt like a national title. And that's why that Oregon game we mentioned was a little bit of an afterthought, because it's kind of like the U.S. hockey beating Russia and then having to play for the gold medal, because that's really
that's
what it
exactly
felt like.
That's exactly the comparison I was going to make.
Yeah.
That's exactly, you know, it was the SEC monster that you finally conquered. It was, you know, it's weird to call Ohio State a David versus a Goliath when Ohio State really is a Goliath. But at that point, they were not considered one compared to, you know, the SEC. And I think after losing to LSU and Florida in the early 2000s in the championship game, people were just saying, well, Ohio State, Big Ten, they're not good enough to play with these guys. And this really put Ohio State back on the map, this game in particular. And I think we could all, when I'm ranking favorite games, I'm probably going that Clemson game one and this game two, because just such an amazing game. Such, you know, you're going against the number one head coach probably in college football of all time, at least living. And just a great performance. That Spencer throw to Michael Thomas where he toe taps in the end zone. You know, like you said, that run that through the heart of the South, 85 yards through the heart of the South. I remember those two guys in the stands doing like this with the Ohio against the world, which I think that company took off because of that shot in the crowd. But
and Evan Spencer had the key block on the Zeke run too. So he sealed off the hole, and yeah, what a game.
And talk about an underappreciated Buckeye, Evan Spencer, you know, very, you know, not gonna set the stat lines on fire, but you can say who's the only Buckeye with a passing touchdown in the college football playoffs. You can look back to Evan Spencer with a huge one, and Michael Thomas with a ballerina type move, keeping that foot inbounds. And just, I mean, like you said, we could talk all day about this game, but I know we're going to wrap up here in a couple minutes, but let's move on to number one. So Greg, without further ado, you and I both have this game number one. You're going against arguably the best team ever assembled on a college football field. And just an unbelievable game. So Greg, why don't you tell everybody what it is?
Yeah, so 2002 National Championship, Fiesta Bowl versus Miami, 31-24, double overtime. I mean, you said it. It was the ultimate kind of David versus Goliath matchup. We had that improbable run, as we talked about, with all these close games throughout the season. Significant underdogs. Nobody gave us a chance, and came out and came out and hung with Miami and ultimately got it done in two overtimes. And I think what made it extra special for, you know, us and anybody who's Cleveland, Ohio State sports fans that are about our age, first championship that we experienced in our lifetime. So you always remember that. And it was just, you know, yeah, so many plays again in that game, but, you know, that is the ultimate. It was the first one, and it's all, you know, I think I have a picture right over here of the final play. So, I mean, it's like etched in all of our minds and hearts forever.
Yeah. And, one play I'll take away from there, it was actually started out as a negative play and turned into a great play, was, you know, Krenzel got hit, threw an interception. It gets returned by Sean Taylor, who turns out to be one of the best safeties in the NFL. And Maurice Claret, right here from Youngstown, rips the ball away and saves a possession for Ohio State. And that kind of, you know, changed the tone. And the one thing I want to say about this game is there's a lot of people that are, you know, contentious with the outcome because of the pass interference play and stuff. But if you go back to before overtime even starts, Miami gets away with about three or four calls that would have easily won Ohio State the game in regulation. So, you know, I'm just going to put that out there for anyone that has any, you know, 2 cents about Ohio State, you know, didn't deserve that call there at the end. But a fantastic game for a literally magical season. I don't think you could, like you said earlier, I'm not sure which game you were talking about, but I don't think if you handed a script over on that 2002 season, like everything went better than expected. Ohio State got just about every single break it could have got that year. And, you know, that 2002 ending was about as good as it gets.
Yep.
So just a cap on that. But, 2002, it's now 2022, and we're hoping for another magical season this coming year. But let me just throw out a few numbers here before we wrap up. I know you got to go. Big Ten championship since 2001, Ohio State has won 11 of them outright or shared. But 2002, then 2005 through 2009, what a great class that was. 2014 and then 2017 to 2020. So let's get back on it in 2022. Also, the Ohio State Michigan series since Jim Tressel took over. Obviously, there was no game in 2020. So the last 21 seasons with 20 games, Ohio State has gone 17-3 in those matchups. So let's say the tables have turned there, and let's get back on the winning track this coming season. So, Greg, any final thoughts on this before we close out?
Yeah, I got a couple minutes if we want to go through a few honorable mentions.
Yeah, go for it.
Because there's just so many. But I'll go through the ones that I had. So, 2009 Rose Bowl against Oregon. We had no Terrell Pryor games on this list. So another guy that I think was pretty underappreciated and maybe remembered for a lot of the wrong reasons, but a tremendous quarterback, tremendous career. This game, I think you actually specifically talked to Tressel about this game, the North Carolina State game in 2003, three overtimes with Phillip Rivers, 44-38 Ohio State win. I actually had the Ohio State Texas game at the Horseshoe, even though we lost, because it wasn't a tremendous game. Another shout out to the 2012 undefeated team in Urban's first season that was on probation, couldn't play for the title, would have played Notre Dame for the title. That game, that last game against Michigan, 26-21 victory. I have 2013 at Michigan, 42-41, where Michigan went for two and missed.
Yep. By the way, Tyvus Powell intercepted that 2-point try, and he was the one that intercepted it at the end of the Alabama game in the national semifinals as well.
Good symmetry there. Little bit of a random one, but 2015 opening game at Virginia Tech. I love that it was like a Labor Day night game, and it was the Braxton Miller spin move game. And it just felt like that team was going to was going to roll to the national title. But we all know that college football doesn't work that way. And I think I have 2016 at Oklahoma. That was an impressive beatdown of Baker in Oklahoma, 45-24. We talked a little bit about the 18 Rose Bowl against Washington victory, Urban's last game. And interestingly enough, 2019 was such a great season. We didn't have any games out of that. So there's a couple, basically three in there. We beat Michigan at Michigan 56-27 that year. Big Ten championship win against Wisconsin, 34-21, where we were getting smoked at halftime. Huge comeback in the second half. And then, although it was a loss, 2019 college football semifinal against Clemson was a tremendous game. Probably a bad call on the fumble recovery, incomplete pass. But we outplayed them, and it was a great football game.
And don't forget about the Sean Wade hit too. Sean Wade getting ejected, and then Lawrence runs for a touchdown after that. Changed. Buckeyes were up 16-0 at that point, I think.
Lawrence playing dead after that hit. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any other ones? That exhausted kind of my list of honorable. Well, you might have had a couple others.
You touched on the double overtime game at Illinois. You know, if you don't win that game, none of that stuff happens in 2002. That was really late in the season. Let's see. I have the Penn State win in double overtime in 2014. It was 31-24. That was the game where one of the Bosa brothers just backed into Christian Hackenberg, I think, and won that game. I mean, every win against Michigan is at least an honorable mention. There was a couple there, 56-27 in 2019, I think, maybe. Nebraska, let's not forget, in 2016, Nebraska comes to the Horseshoe. They're ranked number 10 in the country. Ohio State wins that game 62-3. And obviously, they didn't finish number 10 in the country. But, I mean, that was a pretty amazing game. You had mentioned the Oklahoma game that same season. And then they went to Madison that same season and won 30-23 in overtime. Sorry if you already had mentioned that. But the Arkansas game, Tressel's last game, the Sugar Bowl, and the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans have been very good to Ohio State. So that game, by the way, let's get those wins back for that 2010 season as well. That's garbage that those don't count right now. So if those games go on and count, that adds to certain records that the Buckeyes then hold even more so. But those were pretty much the games I had on my list. I think I had 37 of them listed, and we've talked about most of them. But
you know, interesting observation is we talked a ton about Michigan games, a ton about Penn State games, a lot of Wisconsin games. For some reason, and maybe it's just because we've been on the wrong side of some of them, no Michigan State games even came up.
That's a good point.
And I don't know, maybe this past year where we ambushed them in the first half, but I guess that just speaks to, I think we've, unfortunately, Michigan State's been kind of like that one team that we've been on the wrong side of a lot of those games. If we went into our top 20 heartbreaking games, I feel like there'd be three or four Michigan State games on there. So
we did have a nail biter against them in 2012. It was a 17-16 win, which was a pretty great one. But yeah, you're right. You're right. Michigan State has been the spoiler for us going back to the late 90s, 98, I think, season, and two other times. Big Ten championship game, which we attended in Indy. And one other one I have on my list, too, is the 2020 Big Ten championship game where Trey Sermon just went off, set the all-time Ohio State rushing record in that game, I think 314 yards. Something like that. So some pretty great games on this list. And let's just not forget, too, before we close out here, how spoiled we actually are as Ohio State fans. So like you had mentioned, we go, 11-2 this season, and that's a down year for the Buckeyes. So the bar is set so high. And I think this coming season, the algorithm seems to be there for Ohio State to be the best team in the country, returning talent wise. I have a feeling if they're not ranked one, they're going to be ranked number two coming into the preseason. And it all signs point to an Ohio State Alabama national championship game. But obviously, you got to get there. You have the motivation of losing to Michigan this past season. You have the best offense in the country. You got Jim Knowles coming in. He's making $2 million and a lot of people think he's the best defensive coordinator out there. And, it just feels right for the Buckeyes this year. Got to take care of business. September 3rd though, week one, you got a very formidable, probably a top 15 opponent coming into the Horseshoe. So, and Ohio State over the course of the last 10 years, 15 years has not won a ton of those close home games, with those big non-conference matchups, your Oregon's, USC's, Texas, Virginia Tech,
Oklahoma. It's been a weird anomaly. I was going to say the same thing, the September home games. We got to clear that hurdle.
So let's get it done on September 3rd. We'll have plenty more Ohio State football talk for you in the near future. So Greg, this was fun. I'll put this list out on social media, but appreciate you guys all watching. We'll have, like I said, plenty more Ohio State coverage. So go Buckeyes, and we'll talk to you guys all soon. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and